You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 0% financing for 84 months right now on the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This may be the best deal on Silverados ever. Check it out, Lakewood Chev.
One team that the Oilers will be battling for, and maybe for the first time in, I don't know how many years, going into the season, Edmonton might be favored higher than San Jose by all indicators. That has not happened in a long time, but when you added McDavid and others, and you know, age catches up and Marlowe's out of the picture, it's a little bit of a transition time for the San Jose Sharks. But when you got Burns and you got Vlasic and you got Jones, their back end is still really good. So what type of changes, how many changes will we see in San Jose? We go out to San Jose. Kevin Kurz from NBC Sports, San Jose Sharks insider, joins us. Kevin, hope you've been having a great offseason. A little different one in San Jose because Patrick Marleau leaves to go to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And so far, they really haven't replaced him from anybody externally. They're hoping it's going to come internally. Who do you think are the best options to replace Marleau's consistent 25-goal seasons?
Yeah, you're right. They really didn't add anyone of note or make any big moves in the offseason, even though Patrick Marleau and his 27 goals left town now. But it's pretty clear to me they're going to hope that their younger guys come up and help to fill that role and score some goals, because this is a team that even last year finished 10th out of 14 in the Western Conference in goals per game. So, you put that on top of losing Marleau, to me that's their biggest concern here. But they did have some guys come up and do some good things. Timo Meier is a guy that was the ninth overall pick in the 2015 draft. And I think they had hoped that he would have, had a little bit of a bigger impact than he did last year when he had just 3 goals and 6 points in 34 games. But I think he's really going to get a shot here early to play a top six role. And he's the guy that, to me, is really going to have to break through here and become that top nine or even top six forward and help to replace Marleau's goals. But there are other guys. Kevin LeBanc is a guy that had a nice stretch when he was first recalled in the middle of the season, so he's a guy that could produce. Marcus Sorensen's another guy that, he pretty much finally broke through to the roster there in the playoffs in the first round, was a part of a pretty effective fourth line. But, they need other guys, too, that, veteran guys, the names that we've heard of before, that are going to have to step up, as much as those young guys. And Mikael Bodker is probably at the top of that list. Jonas Donskoy, Joel Ward will hope to have a better year. Chris Tierney. So, really, it's going to take a whole bunch of guys to help to, I think, not only fill Marleau's 27 goals, but, do a little bit more offensively than they did last year.
When I look at this group, I mean, I feel that, there's reason to be comfortable with the team, but I don't know if they can push over the top. So, you talk about some of the young guys coming in, and, I don't see who's making a big jump. I mean, I think Couture, what he brings, Thornton, Pavelski, Joel Ward's kind of on the downside. Is it a guy like a Hurdle or a Mekko Karlsson that maybe has to push over and have a big year to kind of push this team forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the concern here going into this season. And that's why I think we're going to see a lot of a fair amount of preseason predictions that leave the Sharks out of the playoffs. Obviously, you need younger players to not just produce, but you hope that they start to get better as the years go by, especially with a team like the Sharks with some of their older core guys, like you mentioned. But Thomas Hurdle, certainly one of those. He's a guy that I would say had a disappointing year last year. He dealt with another knee injury, his third knee injury since he's broken into the league, all of which required surgery. Jonas Donskoy is another one, had a great rookie year, and I think they expected more from him last season than what he got. And even Mikael Bodker, a guy that I believe is 27 years old, signed a 4-year deal, and his first season here was a disaster. He was healthy scratched for two of those games in the first round against Edmonton. So, obviously, you need younger guys to step in and score goals, especially with an older team. But, you look at the guys on this roster, guys that I think were expected to take that next step in their development. Chris Tierney, I would throw in that group, too. Just didn't happen this year. So, will that happen this year? We'll have to find out.
Timo Meier, huge young player for the San Jose Sharks. I thought he was really effective in his limited time in the playoffs against the Oilers in that series. And what I found interesting, Kevin, about the Sharks was here's Timo Meier, played in the NHL last year, played in the playoffs, yet they brought him into their rookie development camp in the summer. They really like to keep their eyes on their young players and bring them along. What are you expecting of Meier? Maybe what's the organization expecting from Meier this season?
Yeah, you know, I like Timo Meier. I think he really has all the tools. He's got size. He can really get a lot of pucks in the net. He's not afraid to be physical, to get in front of the net. And, you know, he's got that speed, too, which is obviously so important in today's game. So I am a believer in Timo Meier. I think he can break through. And if you go back to last year, I think the expectation was that he would make the team out of camp. But he came down with mono and, you know, he lost some weight. And I think that really set him back, especially when you're a young guy and you get a pretty significant illness like that. And it hit right when training camp started. I mean, the timing could not have been any worse for this guy. So I think the fact that he'll come in healthy and now that he has a taste of NHL hockey, and you're right, I think he was pretty effective in the playoffs. I think the message from the coaching staff was just to go out there and try to create some havoc. Use your body, not necessarily try to score goals, but, you know, just create a little bit of space out there. And frankly, that fourth line that he was a part of with Tierney and Marcus Sorensen, I think on a couple of nights, was the Sharks' best line. So, I think Timo Meier, again, he's the guy that if there's an X factor on this team and a guy that I think is really going to have success in order to, you know, help fill the offense that was missing last year. He's the guy that is at the top of my list. He's the guy I think that really is going to have an impact this season.
Would it be fair to say that the back end and goaltender Martin Jones have to be absolute studs this year for the Sharks to have a chance in the Pacific Division?
Yeah, that's the strength of the team, no doubt. Their defense 1-6, Brent Burns, Mark Ever Vlasic. I mean, there are a few teams in the National Hockey League that can boast of a guy like Brent Burns, who's just such an offensive force and really improved the defensive parts of his game last year too. And Mark Edward Vlasic, who just consistently gets the other team's best players on a nightly basis. So, you know, you start with those two guys and then, you know, 1-6, they lost to David Schlumko in the expansion draft. To me, that's not a huge loss. I think they can find a young guy, either a Dylan DeMello or a Tim Heed type, to come in and be that sixth defenseman. And Martin Jones, you know, I think they have their franchise goaltender. They locked him up to a long-term deal. That was a necessary deal for Doug Wilson to get done to avoid any distractions or even the possibility of losing him as an unrestricted free agent next season. They got that deal done. Martin Jones has already taken this team to the Stanley Cup final in his rookie year, or not his rookie year, his first year with the Sharks. And followed it up with another pretty good year last year. And he was playing a lot. They were really riding him, really right up until March. He was right up there with Cam Talbot in terms of minutes played. And it didn't really slow him down. So I'm a pretty big believer in Martin Jones. I think they've got their guy for the next little while here. You know, again, I think it's going to come back to the offense for this team. Are there going to be enough guys that can put the puck in the net to support that strong defensive core and the goaltender?
Kevin Kurz joins us from San Jose, breaking down the Sharks. Their defense, top four, really no question marks for them. Outside of the Marleau one, internally, is there any other areas? Because when you don't get out of the first round of the playoffs and you're in San Jose, you know, they're looking for small improvements to get there. Where do you see the improvements from a forward base coming? Do they have anybody that you think is poised for a breakout offensive season?
Well, a breakout season. I mean, you know, they're going to have to hope that Hurdle becomes, you know, a little bit more of a all-around player than he has so far. And it's going to be interesting to see. To me, it seems like we have this conversation with the Sharks every year right before training camp starts. Is Thomas Hurdle going to be the third-line center? Or is he better off playing wing up on that, you know, Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski line where he seems to thrive? I don't know how Pete DeBoer is going to want to use them here, but I think ultimately they've been talking for years about them wanting for Hurdle to become a center. And, you know, last year there was another pretty big setback when he got hurt again and missed 2 months. But, you know, the jury is still out. Is this guy an NHL center or is he better off as a scoring wing? And if he's a wing, then that leaves a hole obviously at the center position. So that's going to be, I think, an ongoing storyline here. It's continued to be an ongoing storyline for years. You know, we've already talked about Timo Meier breaking through. I would keep an eye on Marcus Sorensen as another guy. He's a little bit of an older player, even though last year was his first year in the league. He's in his mid-20s. And, you know, he's a guy that has some offensive skill, and he also has a little bit of a grit and a little bit of a nastiness to his game. And he's a guy, again, I think, like Meier, did some good things in the playoffs that he can build off of going into camp.
I just want to go back to Hurdle, because at some point at 38 years old, he'll be 39 next year, Joe Thornton's either going to retire or he's going to go play somewhere else. And sooner or later, it ends coming. So is it more pressure to figure out, can Hurdle play center? Because if not, they got to have a plan in place to replace, well, maybe don't replace, but try to take someone to take some of that pressure when Joe Thornton leaves.
Yeah, you know, I think originally when Hurdle was drafted, that was probably the hope, right, was that he would develop into that top line center and replace a guy like Joe Thornton, who is obviously not getting any younger. But again, you know, whether it's because he has hurt his knee so many times or you know, maybe he just doesn't have the mentality of being a top line center, just hasn't happened. Now, again, he's still young. It can still certainly happen for Hurdle, you know, as long as his knee holds up and, you know, I think he thrives on confidence. We've seen him be a real confident player at times, and then other times when he's in a scoring drought, he tends to mope a little bit, and I think that affects him. So, you know, if he can come up and get off to a strong start and stay healthy, I think he is a guy that is an answer, could still be an answer as a center. But, you know, that's why it's so important, I think, because Joe Thornton, obviously he's here just on a one-year deal. You know, what's his future? Is he going to be able to, you know, have a better year than he did last year? And is he going to be able to stay healthy coming off of that knee injury? So, you know, if you're looking a few years down the line, I'm not sure you can count on Thomas Hurdle being a center for his NHL career. But in the short term, I think with Thornton coming back, they have some flexibility to move him around a little bit, just see what he is.
Kevin, what do you make of having seen the Oilers last season? Do you see them as a legitimate threat in the Pacific this year?
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? Don't you have to? I absolutely do. You know, again, with them and Edmonton and Calgary getting better, and even Phoenix or Arizona, that is, making some improvements in the offseason. I think it's going to be a heck of a division this year. And, you know, to me, that's why it's a little perplexing the Sharks weren't a little bit more aggressive in the offseason, just because the teams around them are on the rise. And the Sharks aren't, you know, have never been a team that are willing to, you know, I don't want to use the word tank, but they've never been a team that hasn't gone for it year in and year out. So, you know, does Doug Wilson have something up his sleeve here during camp before the season, maybe approaching the trade deadline? I'm not sure, because this team does have some salary cap room. But, you know, right now I think the Sharks, if you're looking at where they are in this division, they're firmly behind the Edmonton Oilers and the Anaheim Ducks, and if not the Calgary Flames at this point too.
Well, I think the one thing that concerns me as well, if I'm a Sharks fan, is that they trade away some of their draft picks. So they don't have a second or third this year. So it's
right.
It's easy to say they can pick, you know, for me to say, well, they'll pick some up in a trade at some point, but they probably don't want to give up their first, and they own second and third, so now you got to go to the fourth, and really, what are you getting for a fourth rounder at that time of year?
Yeah, that's an issue, and really, you know, the biggest issue in the more immediate term is that if you go back to their 2013 and 2014 drafts, when they did have an abundance of picks, and Doug Wilson had made an attempt leading up to those drafts to stockpile picks. You look at Mirko Mueller and Nikolai Goldobin were their first round picks in those 2 years, and
sure,
they were both traded this past season. So, you know, they traded a second round pick to move up place to take Mirko Mueller. That was the wrong decision. Obviously, he's in New Jersey now. And you know, the 2014 draft, they actually had the 20th pick. They traded back to take Nikolai Goldobin, who didn't work out here, is now in Vancouver, leaving Nick Schmaltz, Robbie Fabry, and David Pastrnak on the board. So, again, that's another failure. So, if I'm in the Sharks scouting department, I'm feeling a little heat right now, because the leader, you're supposed to have players that are supposed to be ready this year. And it didn't happen. So, you know, maybe guys that were on picks will develop and come out of nowhere and become NHL contributors. But, you know, that's if none of those guys ends up being an NHL player and a good NHL player, then, you know, they've got some questions to answer in terms of they handle their most recent drafts.
Kevin, always great to talk to you, man. We look forward to the start of the season. Enjoy a development camp next weekend, the rookie tournament, because San Jose is hosting it, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that. Anytime.
Appreciate it. There's Kevin Kurz from San Jose.